Good evening, everybody. It's Thursday, November 3rd, 2016, and this is our Thursday night CSS, COS call, excuse me. I got something else on my brain. And we are active. We've been talking a little while. I haven't been, but everybody else here has. And so anybody has anything to contribute on what's going on with your COSs in particular, because that's what we're trying to do here, is to get ideas and strategies and hear the progression of the COSs across the nation, because that's what's very important to us at this juncture, because that's where we're going to get our common law and our common sense, is through our COSs, where we can actually meet, assemble outside of a town hall meeting, and we can discuss problems and the way and the things to do to mitigate those problems. And so that's what's so important about the COS. You guys all know this. You've been here. So go ahead. If somebody wants to talk, go ahead and unmute yourself. Who's that? California
Gerard?
Don? Yes.
Yes. I just rolled this off of my computer. I think it's very interesting. Everybody would be interested, but it's dated November 3rd, 2016. It says Jisara update. It says, good morning. We arrived at a new day on planet Earth. Welcome home. Many today in the Republic of the United States are asking what the heck is really going on with our presidential elections, markets, military, foreign policy, budget, tax codes, and social welfare programs. Few know that GSARA, meaning Global Economic Security and Reformation Act, has been recently implemented by all 209 sovereign nations of the world and is the most groundbreaking information act to sweep not only this country but the entire planet across the turbulent and brief history of mankind. The single act does away with cancers like the Federal Reserve Bank, the IRS, USA Incorporated, shadow government, plus so much more. As of Friday, November the 4th, when it is publicly announced at the United Nations in New York City, GSARA will immediately be implementing the following changes. Cancel all credit card, mortgage, and other bank debt due to illegal banking and government activities. Many refer to this as a jubilee or complete forgiveness of debt. It abolishes the income tax. It abolishes the IRS, when employees of the IRS will be transferred into the U.S. Treasury National Sales Tax Area. It creates a 17.5% flat tax non-essential new items only sales tax revenue for the government. In other words, food, medicine, will not be taxed, nor will used items such as old homes. Increased benefits to senior citizens. It returns the constitutional law to all courts and legal matters. It reinstates the original title of nobility amendment. It establishes new presidential and congressional elections within 120 days of GSARA's announcement. The intern government will cancel all national emergencies and return us back to constitutional law, monitors elections, and prevents illegal election activities of special interest groups. It creates a new U.S. Treasury rainbow currency, which is backed by gold, silver, and platinum precious metals, ending the bankruptcy of the United States by Franklin Roosevelt in 1933. Forbids the sale of American birth certificate records as chattel property bonds by the U.S. Government of Transportation. It initiates new U.S. Treasury bank system in alignment with constitutional law. It eliminates the Federal Reserve system. During the transition period, the Federal Reserve will be allowed to operate side by side of the U.S. Treasury for 1 year in order to remove all Federal Reserve notes from the money supply. It restores financial.
All right, let me stop you there. I understand what you're saying, that this new system is coming in. Here's the problem: who's putting this system in and telling us how we're going to pay the taxes? I mean, sovereign nations are sovereign nations, but are they making our tax law? What about our Congress? What about our elections? Is this a coup of our government? In other words, if it didn't come from our people and we didn't vote on it, what are we doing? We're giving up our sovereignty to some international organization? I have a problem because there is a vacuum coming, and this is the type of stuff. Whatever they can give you, they can take away. Look, we have to fix this as the people of the United States, not as an international organization. Every country can fix themselves. I don't believe that anybody can tell us what kind of tax. Income tax is unconstitutional, but you're talking about 209 sovereign nations. They don't all have an amendment. What do you call it? The amendment, the 13th Amendment. How can that work? Who's reinstituting the 13th Amendment? That has to be we the people. It can't be some international organization, because it's not going to happen. It's a pie in the sky. Look at it. If it's going to go through the UN, let me tell you something. The UN is the beast system. I'm going to call it out right now. And Obama's going to sit there on their Security Council. So I trust nothing that comes out of the UN. What I trust is with the people that our Constitution has a process for doing this. I don't care if it's impeachment or whatever. You know, they could have put new money in. And look, we can make international agreements, but they're not going to tell us how our taxes are going to be. I mean, I agree that these are unconstitutional taxes, but they're only unconstitutional in the United States. I don't know about anybody else's constitution, you know what I mean, and what these other foreign countries do. So, and none of the news media is talking about this. They're not talking about a lot of stuff. So I don't know how they think they're going to implement a new thing without putting us under martial law. And all of a sudden they're gonna switch the money around and switch everything around. And basically what they're doing is, let me tell you something, that UN and that whole system up there is the one that made us chattel. Those guys that run that thing and the CFR and the Trilateral Commission, they're all up there. So now they're saying, oh, look at this horrible stuff. You guys are all slaves. Well, the slave masters are now telling the slaves that they're free. I don't believe it. We have to do this through our due process clauses. I mean, you know, who's gonna adjudicate this? It can't be the military. I'm sorry. The military was not meant to run this country, and we don't need a military coup. We're in the middle of an election, chuckle, chuckle, right? But nevertheless, we can't have an international body come in on the heels of an election and create a vacuum that we have no control over. I'm very suspicious. It sounds, it's great. They're going to cancel all our debt. Now, look, your debt is canceled anyway.
I'm with the Gerard.
Look, if it's an illegal debt, we sent them paperwork that told them it's illegal, that they can't, it's not lawful. This whole fractional reserve thing that they put us under that we didn't sign on to, these contracts, these adhesion contracts, this whole Social Security thing, they give you a number before you're born. It can't stand up under our own laws. We don't need other countries. Look, other countries need to imitate us when we fix ourselves. That's what has to happen. And that's what will happen because that's how great America is. We still have more freedom than anybody else in the world. Look, Australia is a nice place, but guess what? They don't own a gun there. And you know what? That's a bad thing that they don't own guns in Australia. If they're really free, then what's their government afraid of them owning guns for? You know, when somebody wants to take my gun away, I got to ask myself, what are you doing that you're afraid that I, a normal man, might shoot you if I have a gun? What are you doing that you don't trust me with a gun? You know?
That's right.
And that's a great measure of freedom right there. I mean, anybody that doesn't trust us, we are a militia nation. We broke away from the King of England through our militia. We are still a militia nation. We should be upholding our militia clauses by, number one, owning a weapon, practicing with a weapon, and exercising those rights of the militia as we need them. Look, we need the militia right now because we got federal agencies that are no more than corporate overlays. They're no more federal than the Federal Reserve is. And we don't need them to shut them down. We the people need to shut them down. And that's what this is about. Our forefathers formed committees of safety. That's our UN. You know what our UN is? It's the COS. That's the union of the people on the land telling their local governments, guess what? You might think you're doing this, but we the people say no. Look at, I'm in New York. They got the SAFE Act. The SAFE Act is one of the most egregious gun laws in the whole nation that they want to push on everybody. Well, they got a 5% compliance rate with the registration of so-called assault rifle, any gun that holds more than 7 bullets that you can pull the trigger. 5% out of like 2 million people. You know what that means? That means that that law is unconstitutional. The people have spoken. You don't have to repeal an unconstitutional law, and you also don't have to repeal a law that the people refuse to comply with. Because if the people refuse to comply in large numbers, you know, that alone negates the law. When you have millions of people that refuse to obey a law, that means, you know what? The people are above the legislators. They're above the governors. We are the government. We don't need them to tell us what's constitutional and what's not. We don't want them registering our guns. We don't want them coming and taking them or telling us how many bullets we can have in them. We don't need our legislators and our congressmen and our assemblymen to tell us this. We send them there to make laws to help us, to protect us. Not to put us on thumb.
You're preaching to the choir, but just let me finish the last five of these statements here.
Well, I don't want to hear the rest of this. The SARA is a hoax. It's bullshit.
It's all crap.
Well, you'll hear it in New York tomorrow.
All right. Well, look, let it be.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Let's not we're in this group here. We don't have a warm, fuzzy feeling for Nassar. We've seen lots of things and lots of hoaxes, and it ain't over yet, let me tell you. So, anybody have anything on the COS? Feel free to pipe in.
Yeah, hi Gerard, Captain John, State Coordinator, yeah. Illinois. How you doing?
Good, Captain.
Yeah, this kind of happened out of our Committee of Safety Lake County, Illinois meeting on Tuesday. The subject here is the FOIAs, and the object is due diligence, do your homework, and know your facts. I got railroaded into being the chairman of the fluoride committee. This committee of safety says I was recruited, and we are asked to remove fluoride from the city of Waukegan's water system. So this is one of our projects. And I started doing some research on Monday. And I did. I took a look at the Waukegan City website, and I came up with a document by the Waukegan Park District on FOIAs. And it gives the statutes and the usual stuff that you read everywhere. And it was done by the FOIA office for the Waukegan Park District. But what was astounding is they had a list of all the documents that they would supply under FOIA. And I was amazed. I was astounded by this list. And our Committee of Safety actually made me read the list during our meeting. And I got to tell you, I'm a pretty sharp cookie, and I've been at this a long time. It was like, I don't know, 30% of that list I never thought of. And went, oh, man, that would be great to ask. I didn't even know that. So that just popped up in the research. I got the 2016 water quality analysis for Waukegan. And in that document, it said they meet on Mondays and Wednesdays, the first and third Mondays of the month, and asked for the time. So I called up, and I ended up with the city hall number and talked to the gentleman, and he wasn't sure what I wanted. And he said, oh, that's the city council meeting, this first and third Mondays of the month, and you want the water quality department. So I'll give you a number, and I'll transfer you. So he did. And I ended up on the phone with the manager, the director, the big dog of the water treatment plant. And we talked very frankly for over half an hour. And we had an engineer-to-engineer discussion, and I ended it with asking him to come and speak to our Committee of Safety. And his exact words were, I'm not saying no, but I want to know more about you. So I put together a pretty powerful email the next day on who the NLA is, what we do, and what the committees of safety are, and all of the history of the committees of safety going back to the colonial period. And so that went out. So the point I'm trying to make here is that you got to do your homework before you do a FOIA. And I had just started to do this research. I didn't do anything special. I didn't have any special skill or any special knowledge, but I made the effort, and all of this just fell into place. And now we're in a much better position to decide just exactly how we're going to go about making it happen to remove fluoride from the water. And the bottom line is we may actually get this guy to come out and talk to us. So with that, I yield.
That's very good. Yeah. And I had a thought when you first said you got in with the water department guy, and it's not – look, that's perfect, because if you can find out how he feels about it, if you can convince him first, now you have an ally in a place, and there's lots and lots and lots of research on fluoride. You can back up why fluoride is bad. It's not hard. There's tons and tons of it out there on the Internet. If you can get this, if this guy is sympathetic to that and understands it, I mean, look at if he's scientific at all, the proof is out there. Now, ultimately, it's up to the city council. It's not up to him. I don't believe. I believe that the city council is going to have to come up and cancel that or whatever. I don't know how much power he has. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he has the authority to say what goes in the water, but I kind of doubt it, because it's a big question that goes into everybody's bodies. They shouldn't leave it to one man anyway. It should go through the city council. When I was on the town board, they had some woman come in, some battle axe came in, and she, I'm from the such and such, and we want to add fluoride to your water. And thank God me and this other council member were way up on it. We both stood up and said no. And she was very surprised, and we kind of like cut it right off right there, and it never was brought up again. However, you're going to have to convince your city council, and that's how you're going to do it. And if you can educate the water guy, you're that much ahead of the game.
Well, I've got a couple of comments here, and you're absolutely right, of course. I am in a position to be quite well aware of his position, and that is simply that the people that have a higher education, bachelor's degrees, master's, PhDs, the higher you go, the more you are embedded in the system. And he is brainwashed, mind-controlled, and conditioned by the cabal, and that's his position. Well, you know, the studies that we work by, and they don't, you know, I couldn't have the conversation with them. The 99% of all science is bought and paid for by the cabal, so throw those studies out the frickin' window. No, it's smart enough not to go there, but that was where he was going with that. So that's the purpose exactly of having him come speak to us, because then I can gently present him with real information on fluoride. That's exactly right. Now, the other comments were actually, you know, how do you remove fluoride? Yeah, the city council could possibly do it, but the problem goes, the dog chases his tail. The state of Illinois has their statutes that says you got to put the fluoride in the water, and that comes from the federal government, which of course comes from the cabal. So what you have to do is remove the state mandate. Otherwise, what happens, as you well know, is if you pull the fluoride, then the state pulls all the money that they're giving the town of Waukegan, and then what do? So the parameters that we're setting up would be a referendum for the voters of the town of Waukegan to vote out fluoride. And, of course, we at the NLA and with the Committee of Safety would address the state issue. And this is in the very early stages. We all developed all of this for Monday and Tuesday in our knowledge base. So it's very productive.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good start. Yeah, who's that?
Yeah, this is Robert.
Yes.
And Ellie. Look, I want to just mention this. I've got a granddaughter that's 25 years old. It's my son's oldest daughter. She was born at Fort Lewis, Washington, Mattigan Hospital. For the first year of her life, she got one drop of pure fluoride in her formula every day for 1 year. She's 25 years old. She has never had a cavity. And if you want to verify it, I don't remember the doctor's name, but I probably get it from my son, who recommended that they try it. It was on an experimental basis, and it wasn't a reduced mixture in your water. It was one drop of 100% for the fluoride for the she to this day in her baby teeth and in her adult teeth she has never had a cavity.
So you want to
and that's all. That's all I can tell you about.
Look at it. Let me tell you what I know about fluoride. I don't know what the experience was that she had and what they gave her and why it worked from her. When you go across the board, across a population and say we're going to give this one thing and it's going to fix everybody the same way, that's a lie. No two human bodies necessarily react the same way. Now, there are scientific studies that show that fluoride models the bones and causes osteoporosis later in life. It pulls the cow. It does make the teeth hard, but at what price? Is she going to have horrible osteoporosis when she gets into her 40s? That remains to be seen.
The other thing is
fluoride was never, ever, ever tested for internal use. The dentist used to paint it onto the teeth. It was never intended to go into the body like that. Those are studies. I've studied it for years and years. I fought with the schools. I didn't get it. Look, when you don't give your kid fluoride, they want to turn you into CPS. You're no good. You're this. I went through years.
You should have that option.
Right. And so I don't want them telling me what needs. You know what fluoride is? And you know why they want to put it in our water? I'm sorry to say this. It's because it's a poisonous byproduct of aluminum. And if they can sell it and stick it in the water, they can get rid of it. And they can actually make money on it. So we're nothing but the garbage pit for them. Now, yes, it has some effect of hardening the outside of the teeth, but that's not the full story, you know? Even the original study they did that they found some fluoride in the water, and they found that occurred naturally, mind you. There was a group of farmers or something out in this rural area, and they said, look, they have no cavities. What's going on? They did studies of the community. Well, they came up with the fact that the water had a higher natural fluoride, and they said, oh, it's the fluoride. Well, never mind with that the people were all eating off their farms, that they were eating a good diet. That never even came into it, you know, because they don't want to talk about nutrition. And look, nutrition covers a multitude of sins. I don't know how your daughter ate. I don't know what kind of food they gave her. You know what I mean? I don't know if they were organic people or she ate a regular American diet.
No, just a regular diet.
Right. So these are all things that come into that.
Right, and that's why I said it was experimental, and I'm not saying anything one way or another. All I can tell you, as her grandfather, I know what happened, where it started, and through the course of years, what happened. But this is a different situation. This is pure fluoride.
That scares me. Sorry, it just does.
Scares me too.
And the thing is they did an experimental thing on a community, and they said, here, put this one drop of fluoride and see what happens with the cavities, right? And so who funded it? Who was funding it? How do you know what they put in her bottle? They might have something in there that's vitamin something something that stops cavities, and they told everybody it was fluoride. So she grew up with this great thing. I mean, look, I'm a conspiracy guy, you know what I mean?
I'm going to jump in here because I'm a chemical engineer. And given everything the gentleman has said, at face value, could, you know, that's what happened, and that's what he observed. But the big question here is, as chemical engineer, if I was going to analyze his story to try to determine what was in fact going on, I would have to look at everything. I would have to look at their diet. I would have to look at the vegetables they ate, the soil content, the air content, the kind of water you drank, the kinds of medication that you took. I would have to look at all of these factors because it is your assumption, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but it is your assumption then you can put this all on the fluoride. And that's a flaw. That can't be stated at the moment. The only other comment I want to make is, in my position, it's absolutely irrefutable that fluoride should not be given internally in any quantities at all to anybody ever. So with that, I yield.
Well, and this
Amen.
Is to the chemical.
Amen. Many,
chemical.
Many other variables.
This is to the chemical engineer. Isn't fluoride also a part of what they use for Prozac?
That I'm not aware of, but what the chemical that they're actually putting in the water is called hydrofluorosilic acid, and it's a derivative of fluoride, and it is a waste product. Now, the engineer that I was talking to that ran the water treatment plant, I had to be very careful, treat him with velvet gloves, because I really do want to respect him, and I really want to be open-minded, and I really do want him to talk to our committee of safety. We got into a conversation on concentrations, and unfortunately, it's a very valid argument to a certain extent, because anything is in a great quantity will kill you. Sugar will kill you. Milk will kill you. I mean, anything that you overdo. So he got into that engineering discussion about the concentration of fluoride in the water that's being added to their treatment plant. But here's the interesting part. On the 2016 report, they have all the chemicals that they add, and they have the lab quality control reports on when they test. And certain chemicals, they test every hour, they test every 2 hours. Guess how often they test for fluoride.
Once a month.
That's right. And that wasn't even the worst thing, because it's 3 years on lead.
Okay, my turn.
Yeah, keep going.
Okay, most of my life, large periods of my life, I was on well water, hard water. Okay, I only had one serious cavity in my life, but at the ripe old age of 61, the teeth started falling out of my head.
That's because you've been poisoned for the last 40 years by the cabal, would be my quick answer. And I suspected you were on a well. And the fact that you just said that your teeth were great up until the heavy metals and everything just started to really get concentrated in our body, you started to have issues. Absolutely right. I was going to mention that, but I didn't know that. I said, you probably have well water. You know, that. There you go.
Okay, I got a few comments about J. Reus or whatever it was, and then I'll work around COS, and I won't be very long. During the 60s, I was on USS Little Rock 6-7 years. I was all over the Mediterranean and North Atlantic. I saw the Mediterranean in its glory, the beauty of France, Italy, Greece. I saw it all, and I'll tell you what, if you could go to one of them countries and not be above in 3 days, there's something very seriously wrong with you. Now, years ago, when they started all this social business over in Europe, the Democrats jumped all over that. That's what started a lot of this stuff in this country. Okay. Brexit was a very profound exit. The globalists controlled Europe through the European Common Market. And when during Brexit, they started losing control, okay? They actually caused martial law in France, and that failed simply because the cops and the people that were supposed to enforce martial law said, you know what? This is France. Get out of here. So they banded together with the people out in the streets.
That was a militia.
The United Nations... The United Nations is what the globalists are using to gain control over the United States, believe it or not. Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. The Indians up in North Dakota now are hollering for the UN troops to come in. That scares me to death. And that diarrhea, whatever you talked about, it scares the hell out of me. It really does. The solutions are going to come from the people. The solutions have got to come from us, not any political figure, not any international organization. It's got to come from us.
Now, after that one, during this election, they create a vacuum, and they fill that vacuum with what they want. If the Clinton Foundation is going to fall, like everybody says it's going to, there's going to be another big vacuum. And everybody I talk to on the streets anymore, they know that this system is broke. They know it. They realize if they're working for a living, if they're half awake, if their eyes are open, they know it's broke. And what I've been telling everybody for the last month, there's going to be a big vacuum. The people in this country have got to stand up and fill that vacuum. We've got to take control back. And that works right into the COS, and I am exactly right. The people have got to stand up, fill that, make sure that vacuum is filled with us and not the United Nations or anybody else, and that's where the COS comes in. The COS right now is very, very critical. There was something about voter fraud and all this and that. Everything works back to the county level, and a committee of safety. You can call it COS, you can call it whatever you want. There's got to be a few community leaders stand up, start solving county problems, court problems, economic problems. We are at a critical point in history. And the people have got to stand, and I really think they're ready to stand when this election is over and everybody can get back to business instead of listening to all the propaganda and BS. I really think that people that they are ready to take control back, and it's got to be on a county by county level, on a county by county basis. And there are people coming out of the bushes. They're coming out of the woodwork. We were talking a while ago that there's people like Michelle Fiore and Jennifer Fielder in Montana. There are more and more people running for political office that don't want to go back to the old ways, back to the Constitution. They see, everybody sees this is another social experiment that broke. It is broke. Socialism, communism does not work. It does not work. We have got to get back to the free market system, back to the Constitution, and we have got to run the corporate knotheads out. We have got, the first thing we got to do is run the United Nations out of this country. We have got to run them out. Quit funding them. The United Nations troops are nothing more than the mercenaries that were in over in Iraq. They are paid thugs, they are paid soldiers. The United Nations is a tool of the globalists. Soros is they are all using the United Nations to control this country. We have got to get rid of them. I yield.
I have two reports from two other committees of safety in our tri-state group to support what you state. Lake County, Indiana, I am very proud to say, was started up by four young men, and I'm talking 18 to 24 years of age, and they immediately went after Common Core in their schools, and they're doing gangbusters in Lake County, Indiana. We also have the Committee of Safety up in Oconee County, Wisconsin. Long story short, Bob and Wendy were harassed by the county. They were written up for their farm equipment. They threw Bob in jail for contempt of court, and they hit him up with a charge of assaulting an officer. I helped him get that case thrown out. 2 weeks ago, Bob and Wendy's charges by the county on their citations for having a dump on their property were thrown out. And to support what you just stated, last Tuesday, Bob went to the Zoning Commission meeting and sat next to the zoning administrator, whose charges were just dismissed, who he's suing in federal court, and a guy turned beet red. He was completely betwixt. And the meeting was adjourned prematurely. Our committees of safety in Lake County, Illinois, Lake County, Indiana, and Oconee County, Wisconsin are making things happen. They are making things happen. They're having an influence right now. So these committees of safety are very important. But where I disagree with you, I agree on your UN position, but this is a committee of safety call. And that is not the jobs of the Committees of Safety. The Committees of Safety's job is to take back the county. We don't need to be looking at the UN. Leave the big dogs take care of that. We need to take the counties back, and then we can take our states back. And that's where I think, and I encourage all of our Committees of Safety and our tri-state group to concentrate their efforts. So, like I said, that's three very positive things coming out of three Committees of Safety and our tri-state group. So with that, I yield.
Okay, let me respond to that. Larimer County is a sanctuary county. Fort Collins, Colorado is the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 showcase. The United Nations have taken over city councils. A Committee of Safety in Larimer County, one of the first jobs we got to do is get rid of Common Core, get rid of Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. We have got to get the United Nations out of every county. I yield.
Yes, I agree. You know, Gerard always talks about one of his favorites is the International Building Code by the UN. That's one way that we can do this with our Committees of Safety. There's a number of ways that we can nit and pick our county to get rid of any UN agendas. You're absolutely correct in that regard.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
And we're doing that. I support that thought. That's not actually what you said up front, but you're absolutely right. And believe me, I do understand what's going on in your county. I've been on that for a long time. You know, started with studying on the Denver airport. Once you get to Denver airport, you understand what's going on in your neck of the woods. You guys got a tough road to hoe, and you have my full respect.
4,000. And those still living in temporary government housing amount to more than 60,000 people.
Somebody's got a radio going there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was muted, guys. It's Harley from Vermont.
Yeah.
You dog.
I know you're hearing me.
Hello, Harley. How you doing?
Pretty good, guys. I agree. You know, nail on the UN locally. They suck.
And we're doing it. We're doing it. Our Committees of Safety are brand spanking new, right out of the box. And we're going after it, man. We ain't hesitating. And these people are working it. They're getting something done. I am really excited.
Look, if they can't stand in the counties, then they can't stand in the country. And as far as any federal statute, they don't hold anyway. The federal government doesn't usually put a statute like for fluoride. What they do is they use the carrot on a stick. Like you said, they'll give you money to fix up your water thing as long as you put fluoride in it. And so then if you take it out, then they pull the money out. Well, listen, these counties and these towns got to learn to get off of that tit, because that's what they're doing. That's how they do it. That's how they take over the sheriff's departments. That's how they take over everybody, because they offer them all this stuff. And in it, there's always an agreement, like, for instance, the law enforcement, that he'll sign off his authority in the event of blah blah. And so I talked to my sheriff and he said, look, you have to fight to get the county administrators to loosen the purse strings for my budget, otherwise I'm forced to go to the federal government for the things that I need. You know, they think it's a big candy store, and if the federal government funds their sheriff, oh, that's great, we can buy new carpets and air conditionings for our office. That's how they see this thing, you know. So it's very tempting, and really, you know, your sales tax is what the county is, the biggest fund of the county is the sales tax. They should fund things like the sheriff's office first and let these other departments go begging to the federal government for money. I don't think we should beg to the federal government for any money. You know, it's our money. They take it from us, and then they weed it back with strings attached. There's always strings attached, and that's what we have to learn how to cut. And if you can cut these things like Common Core and the stupid international code and all this stuff, that's how they're standing on us. That's where the rubber meets the road locally. And if you can cut those strings, they're done. That's their operating platform, so to speak. So if we take that platform out, they won't be steady. You know what I mean?
I had a bit of that conversation with this gentleman that ran the water treatment plant. I said, just for the sake of argument, for the moment, I said, you know, if you did not have the state mandate in your way, you know, would you be open to removing the fluoride? And he was like, well, blah, blah, blah. I said, that's what we do. We can address that issue. And he was stunned. It had never occurred to him that we could remove the interference of the state for him. And I asked him point blank, I said, if that were removed, how would we, I don't want to hurt the town of Waukegan, you know, if you had that option, how could we replace that money that's being missed? And and he just never considered that. Absolutely stunned. So that got him thinking. That got him thinking.
Let me make a comment. One of my guys that delivers my Meals on Wheels, my Wednesday guy, he is a nautical engineer. What he knows the nautical. And I asked him one day, I said, what's killing all the fish out in the Pacific? And he says, well, radiation. But let me tell you something. There are very tiny particles of plastic. It's in toothpaste. Is in all the products. These tiny particles of plastic are being flushed into the sewer systems. They're coming back in the fresh water supply. They're being flushed out into the oceans. They are killing the marine life. Small particles of plastic.
Absolutely correct.
Yeah, it's a scary world we live in, isn't it? I mean, we've come, it's amazing. We made it this far down the road. And like you say, look at these committees of safety. This is where the people get to put their agreement or not to the government, which we don't get. I mean, look at the way they manage the elections and stuff, you know. And that's because we've let them get this far, you know. With your committees of safety, and you could fix your election system. You know, let's go back to paper ballots. Let's, you know, what's this business with all this electronic counting? It can't be. You know, the technology is such that it's too hard to police because there's always cops and robbers, and you can't see it going on. It's happening in those wires, in those chips, when you don't even know what's going on. So let's put it back to something very, you know. Sometimes simple is better. You know, there was an incident where one of our Aegis class destroyers was completely disabled out in the ocean by the Soviet Union with a fighter jet with a electromagnetic.
It's a focused EMP. It's a focused
right,
EMP.
Yeah, right, and so. And it couldn't do anything. It couldn't maneuver. It couldn't fire its guns. Nothing. And then they strafed that ship like 27 times, just to make a point. And the Soviet general, he chuckled. Because those Aegis class destroyers, they're all hooked up to the satellites. They ping here and they ping there. They see what's coming in. They can actually intercept missiles that are coming in. So he said, sometimes. When you make something so complicated, it's easy to take it out with all, you know, like with a not so complicated, you know, device, you know. So that EMP device, you know, we make it like it's a big thing. Basically, it's like radio frequency interference that's designed to go in and focus, but it's a very simple technology. You know, it's practically like putting a Hoover vacuum cleaner on the front of the plane and getting all that electrical noise and just focusing on that ship. And here this multi-million billion-dollar thing get is dead in the water. So that's a lesson to us that sometimes, you know, you don't want things so automated that you can't stick a pen in there to keep it going or whatever. You know what I mean? It gets too complicated and you lose control of it. Just like our voting machines. We've had this system and we have poll watchers and we got this whole thing about how to secure the vote. It's been done, you know, through the years. And that's one of the things that made this nation great. There's no reason we can't still be using that. And we don't need the vote. The vote won't get out any less quicker, and if it's 6 or 8 hours difference or whatever it is, who cares? I would give up that extra wanting to know ahead of time to know that it's clean. Who cares? I mean, we got this early voting going on. I never heard of such a ridiculous. I didn't even know any such thing existed. And my niece called me and said, and she's in Ohio, or North Carolina rather, and she said, they've been voting here for 3 weeks. I'm like, what? And then I hear that there's something like there's only 7 states that don't do it, I guess. But whoever heard of an election where you vote, where you start voting a month before the election? I mean, you talk about making room for corruption and taking the wind out of people's sails, and they'd be making all kinds of prediction about who got, you know, they could bust people in and really stack the vote early on so that the other people get discouraged and don't come out and vote. I mean, I could think of 1,000 scenarios of why you wouldn't want to do that. You know,
absolutely, and that's why they, you know, with hindsight, we all thought it was, oh, we just don't vote enough. You know, you got to stop all this voter suppression. Oh, bull crap. You just got to make it on a good, convenient day, make everybody show up in person, and nowadays, make them show an ID. You got to show an ID to get on a damn train. You know, it's like, give me a break. Give me a huge break and keep it honest. There's a lot at stake in little towns. You know, a few votes makes a huge difference. And
that's right.
You know, yeah. We've got these people, you know, who are now, you know, Miss Thing has retired from even campaigning because she knows it's not even about that for her. Meanwhile, the other guy's working his buns off, changing people's hearts and minds, and the rest of the world is helping us uncover this international socialism sort of creeping by the back door monster that has loaded up all this technology into the system. And, you know, the thing is, we knew about the Diebold machines years ago, and we know about the conflict of interest. It's just there's nobody. They're all asleep at the switch. They might as well just shove that swamp off of Virginia right back into the ocean and start over. You know, because those jerks don't care. They're dual citizens. They got all their hedge bets, and nobody realizes they're run by the Jesuits. They're all vetted through Georgetown. You know, so they're controllable that way. They're either paid or they're blackmailed with their perversion. I'm done. Over.
Hey, you are.
I think
remember that.
Niemoller said, you know, when it came for the unions, I didn't stand up because I wasn't a union member. When they for the Jews, I didn't stand up because I'm not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was nobody left to stand up. I yelled.
That's right. Yeah. And you're right. I lost my train of thought, so go ahead, Jersey Terry.
Yeah, you remember the situation with Acorn a few years back with James O'Keefe? He did that expose where he tried to... They went into the Acorn office, and the guy wanted to get advice on hiding his money from his. He went into the pimp, hiding his money from the his prostitution business, and this is an Acorn office, you know. And these are a bunch of leftists that were basically recruited by. Clinton and Obama to get out the vote and everything like that, but that's the thing that was kind of swept under the rug. Do you remember that situation that you know what I'm talking about, James O'Keefe?
Yeah, that was during the election for Obama. That's what the Acorn was instrumental in, you know, a lot of that voter fraud and stuff that was going on.
Right, but you didn't hear much about that in the media, about that aspect of it. You know, you just heard about, oh, this guy, you know, going in there as a pimp and stuff like that. But that's what Acorn was supposed to do. They were supposed to rig the election.
Yeah, that's a lot of that is George Soros funded.
Right.
I mean, and they're getting, I mean, he's so arrogant, he's right out there in the open now. They don't even care. You
his
know,
fingerprints
it's,
are on everything.
It's amazing how this information is available. I mean, you talk about Captain John there, I think, said he was reading the What You Can Request by FOIA, and people don't even think about it, you know. You know, we never used to need FOIA requests. It used to be when you went in, you asked for something, you got it. And they wouldn't give it to you, so then they came out with the Freedom of Information Act. And as far as I can see, what they should have done is they should have just prosecuted these town officials that wouldn't give you things on the laws that existed. Because what I found when I was on the town board, they used the FOIA request to hold information back. Oh, we don't have to give it for 25 days. They would stall. They would use everything in that law. I used to tell them, when somebody comes in, you don't. They have an automatic thing when you ask for, oh, you got to put a FOIA request. Why won't you get, what are you hiding that you can't give them that information right there on the spot? You know, the town clerk's there all day. What's she doing? She's supposed to be serving the people. And if you come in that and you want to see a public document, why do I need to tell you who I am and where I'm going and what this and that and the other, fill this out, and you got 25 days to give it. And then if we don't give it, there's an appeal process and blah, blah. You know, that tells them, I mean, it's, don't get me wrong, a lot of good stuff did come out of the Freedom of Information Act because it came at a time when they were really not cooperating. However, we shouldn't have needed a Freedom of Information Act to get documentation from our authorities. And you know why we shouldn't have needed it? I'll tell you why you needed the Freedom of Information Act, because we got rid of the grand juries. Because a grand jury could go in anywhere and look at any file, and they couldn't stop them. And then, you know, when we had the grand jury that actually used to go in and investigate, these people wouldn't dream of not giving you information, you know, because they'd be getting a knock on the door from a grand jury team, you know, your administrator, because that's what they had. They would go in and look at things and see what was going on. You see, that's what we need to reinstitute. We need to reinstitute the people running the government, watching, being the watchdogs of the government. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist. It just takes common sense. So, anyway, I yield. Anybody else have anything?
That was a great point. Appreciate it.
I would just say that I went into my city and asked them, I've already told you guys, but probably not everybody, I went into my city and asked for the line item budget on our police, and they would not give it to me. They said it's not for the public.
What? The line item budget for the police is not for the public.
Yeah.
Why would
it
say, why?
You public, got...
Are they buying bullets with my name carved in them? Why is it not for the public?
I don't know. They
what
just
are you
said.
About?
They said that's not.
Internet?
Yeah, they said that's not public information. So anyway, that's what I got in my small town city here in a suburb of Kansas City.
Boy, that's about the most arrogant remark of the night, right there. You know, I mean, what are the police doing that they can't give you a line item budget of what they're spending your money on? That they don't
exactly.
Want
and there are 7,000 people approximately in our town, and there any time you drive by the police station, there's at least 12 cars, police cars, sitting there that don't have anybody in them. And so I don't know how many people are out, but why do we, that's like one police car for every, I mean, if you take into account the ones that are out on the road, it's like for every 500 people, there's a police. We don't need that. We don't need to spend our tax money that way. You know, it's just annoying. But anyway, I just want to throw that in there.
You guys must be always misbehaving. That's all I got to say. Yeah, you know, it's because the cat's been away so long, the mice are playing, you know what I mean? And that's what they don't like. You know, you coming in there and asking this. I can't believe that they told you that it's none of your business. I mean, I can't imagine what they're buying that they don't want. Are they buying weapons of mass destruction? What? I mean, tell me, please.
I'll tell you another thing. I went in there and I asked for all the anything that had my name, my mother's name, my father's name, my address, my license plate number. You know, I just named all that stuff off. My image. I wanted a copy of anything and everything that they had in the police department that had anything to do with me. And they told me it would be $15 per report.
Jeez. And you know what else?
I know.
When you left, they had one more thing with your name on it. A person of interest. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Well, that's just exact. That's, well, what happened was somebody beat my gas meter out of the ground in June of 2013. I haven't had gas because I refused to put it back in until they make a police report. Somebody beat my gas meter out of the ground in the front yard in the middle of the night, and the police refused to make a report on it.
I remember that story. Yep.
Yeah, and I went to two city council meetings and talked to the police chief and talked to the city manager, and they finally put one little paragraph somewhere tucked away. They said that they didn't have any report of it, but that they put one little paragraph in and sent it in as a suspicious activity report. So they're just, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going on out here, but I will get to the bottom of it. But that's what happened to me.
Yeah, well, you need a committee of safety, and I don't know who beat your meter out, but probably the city council's daughter or son or somebody ran it over, and they don't want anybody to know. But that's
you,
what you're
no,
running.
You can't.
Or he was drunk.
I just got to tell you guys that it could not have gotten backed into because there's a big steel mailbox pole right in front of it to prevent that from happening. And on the supply line, you can see where they started beating that out because there's a V in it. And then they went over to the intake line that goes into my house. And so, but I've reported all this. I've reported it to the city, the state, the county, and everybody's acting like they didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
But it'll come out. It'll all come out.
Excuse me. This is Lori. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Lori.
Okay. I was just wondering if you had used the FOIA. Because I did that to Sheriff Ward when they wouldn't answer me out in Oregon, and I got my FOIA answer. I have
well,
one that he gave a permission for the feds to come into that county. I've forgotten, but just
yeah.
Get your FOIA going.
Well, you know what? I'm not. At this point, I'm not going to bother because you're not right. I started to do that. But then I thought, no, everybody knows the county, the city, the senator, our state, the attorney general, the sheriff. I called everybody, including the governor,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
reported it and wrote reports. And everybody, like I say, it's just dead silence. You'd think it never happened. Well, it did happen, and they came out and they tried to put my gas meter back in, and I said, don't you dare touch that gas meter until there's a proper, professional, honest report made that this community has on record. Don't you touch my gas meter. And
right.
So this will be my fourth winter without heat. But I don't care if it takes 10 years, I'm going to sit here without gas until they get it on the record of what happened out here as the crime that it is. And I've just dug my heels in on that one. So it'll be taken care of at some point. I may be, you know, in the grave before it happens.
Yeah.
You might be frozen in your house, but yeah.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not going to do that. But I just wanted to let you all know that it really gets bad sometimes, you know, but just hang in there because they know what they're doing, and they just all wanted you to be quiet, and they want to come out and fix it and pretend like, no, hell no. That's my answer, hell no.
Well, standing on principle does, you know, you pay a price, but it's a good feeling when it works, you know. Trouble
yeah.
in this nation is we don't have enough people that are willing to stand on principle. And boy, that's
mm-hmm.
that's what we need today. I mean, there is no principles. You know, it's just that it's really easier to pay the fine for most people. But of course, those days are going away too because they won't be, you know, the more as rougher times get and people have trouble paying the fines, the more they're going to complain, you know,
mm-hmm.
when they can't eat because they got to pay a fine. And that's what's going to happen now. You're going to see as the economy goes down, these municipalities and these government agencies and the banks and everybody else are going to get more and more greedy. And they're going to start sucking more and more off the people. And that's when the people are going to revolt because, look, they've had us. we've been the most patient people in the world with, you know, allowing them to do what they've done to us, bring us to the point where so many of us are living just week to week. My goodness, and they've made it worse with all their technology that's supposed to be better. They came in with just-in-time shipping and all this stuff. And, yeah, everybody has to get on it because you can't compete otherwise. But meanwhile, there's nothing on the shelves anymore because you can order it and you can have it in 2 days. So what's the sense of stocking it? I took all the stock out of my business. I'm not keeping it anymore. Doesn't make sense, you know, when I can call and I can get it and have it there in a few hours. Why should I stock it, you know? And they charge you tax at the end of the year, anything that's sitting on your shelf. They want you to do inventory, all this crazy stuff. So every time you turn around, the government's war against the working man. You know, they're right on your back. And that's why Donald Trump is saying all those things, and because he knows that people are fed up. And this is resonating with the people. And so whether you like him or you don't like him, and I don't know if they're doing a bait and switch. As far as I'm concerned, the jury's out. But when things are being said the way they're being said now, and he's calling the media out and stuff, can't be a bad thing. And I'll give you a Christ quote: a house divided cannot stand. So they can play a little bit, but they can't play too much. And this has already gotten past the point of them playing a little bit. There's too much stuff coming out that's very damaging for them. So I don't believe that they have control over this scenario. Whatever's going on now, the dog and pony show that they were feeding us, I think they've lost control over it. So I'm hoping it's for better and not for worse, because anytime anything like this comes out, the guys that are on the top, the guys that are running everything, the guys that are running George Bush and Obama, because they're nothing but puppets, sit there and they go, how can we use this situation to our advantage? And believe me, they will. They're willing to throw everybody under the bus just to get us to stand there and become discouraged and like deer in the headlights so that they can pull a coup on us. They will throw everybody who facilitated them coming into power, they will throw them all under the bus just to realize their goal. And so be ready. Be ready for some kind of a twist, because they're going to have a surprise or something that's going to be designed to paralyze us. I'm just telling you. Very important to get your committees of safety going, because look at, if you're in your community and you're talking to these people who you supposedly voted for that are representing you, look at, put your face on your vote. They don't have any problem when they get in that room and they vote aye, nay, aye. And they never see you. When they see you and you're in that meeting and they got to answer to you, because they do, it makes a difference. And when you talk, if they never see you and then you come in and complain, then you're just a pain in the neck. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you're there all the time. And I was gonna also talk Captain John there. Make sure his committee of safety doesn't beat up on that engineer when he comes in, because you probably got people that are very knowledgeable on the whole and very passionate about the whole fluoride thing. So you got to hold them back and let them next time. It's not his fault. It's not him.
Well,
he's not
him. He expressed that exact sentiment, and I'll give you his exact words. He said, "I did not want to walk into a buzzsaw."
and he's right. And when I
sent the email with all our information, I assured him that we're all very respectful, we're all very professional, and we're all open-minded, and he will be treated with the utmost of respect.
Right, that's important. And look at, you give him the floor, let him do you know what he wants to do, and let him say what he wants to say. But look at, you're an engineer, he's an engineer, and look, you have at your fingertips lots of facts that you can put out there. And I wouldn't overwhelm him. I'd pick probably some of the more powerful ones, because there's been some more recent stuff that's very powerful put out there by physicians and people that know, you know what I mean? And let him read that, you know what I mean? Let him see the stuff that, you know, that shows how, you know, the studies they used were skewed or they were not studied at all, you know?
I will control the meeting if he agrees. And we've already had one guest speaker, happens to be the husband of one of our members, who's a 30-year journeyman in water treatment. He's got the highest state certifications. He knows the plant manager. And what we did is we just let him say what he wanted to say, and we had a Q&A, and that'd be that. I didn't object to any of the things that needed to be discussed until the following week. And we'll do the same thing with this director. He can speak his mind, say what he wants to say. Well, members can ask whatever questions they want, and we'll leave it at that. And after that meeting, I will supply him with all the documents that support our position. That's how I envision it going down.
Yeah, well, that sounds very good. So that's good information for anybody here, you know, with your committees of safety, you know, and this is a good example of the type of work that you do. Look at, you're an assembly of people. You know, you're not a terrorist group or anything like that. You're an assembly of concerned citizens. You know?
And that's the exact wording that we use in our flyers that we put out for local businesses. We are an assembly. That is the exact words that we use.
That's right. And we have a right to assemble now, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And the way that we don't lose that is by exercising it. If we never exercise our right to assembly, we won't have it anymore. Who was trying to talk there?
That's me, Rhonda from Washington.
Yes, Rhonda, go ahead.
I have had nothing but trouble trying to get a committee of safety here in my little town. I don't know if people think everything is just hunky-dory or what it is. But something came up yesterday in our apartment complex that may change everybody's mind. I do not use marijuana or any street drugs or anything, but the state of Washington says it is legal if you want to smoke marijuana in your home, in your car, etc. Our complex just put out a note with some reminders, you can't do this, you can do this, blah, blah, blah. One of the things was that even though the state of Washington says you can smoke marijuana, they go by federal rules, and federal rules says it's illegal. Therefore, it is illegal to have marijuana on the premises.
Really? They went there?
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
yes. This complex has a multitude of probably 20 to 35-year-olds, which, from my experience, has been the largest group that indulge in marijuana. And I know there are older people who do, but, you know, that's up to them.
Look at it.
So
60-year-olds invented it, so don't kid yourself. But all right, go ahead.
Oh, I know.
I was going to ask if there were any vacancies.
So I know. So I'm
my
hoping,
kind of place.
So I'm hoping with this that will help me get some of these people
absolutely,
a committee of cycling. You know,
I mean,
who are they to say that our sovereign state's rules are no good?
Exactly.
I might get kicked out of my apartment.
Well, look, do they really think that that law is going to it's not stopping them now. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, it's not.
And they're in their homes. My goodness gracious. You know what I mean?
Well, the fact that there's no smoking in the apartments, period, has not stopped people either.
Yeah, it's hard. See, it's you know, really not free. That's the problem, you know, and
yeah.
That's why American home owning your home was the great American dream. Well, I own mine, but all they want to do is tax it away from me and tell me how to live here and everything else. And you know, I'm really not free. I'm actually less free, I think, than some people that rent, you know. I mean, I have all the responsibilities of a landowner, but I don't have the freedom to do what I want to do. And I gotta pay the rent of their taxes. Taxation with no representation, I get nothing from
right.
them. I live on a town
right.
road, the county plows my road. It comes out of my county sales tax, you know. There's nothing. There's
yeah.
nothing that this town does for me as far as the benefit. Oh yeah, we got a nice park. Look at I don't wanna talk down about it, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, we used to have a building inspector that says, oh, that trouble with that guy is he thinks his owns his property. He doesn't know that we own it, and we just let him live there, and he pays rent in the form of taxes. This was our building inspector. that I worked to get rid of. I went to the town board. I said, this guy is a socialist communist. You can't. I said, I know it's true that our taxes are like rent, and if we don't pay them, they evict us. I said, but we can't have a building inspector that goes out there and tells people that, you know?
Right. Well, home ownership has become like owning a business. They regulate you and tax you to death.
Oh, yeah. Well, because it is commercial. We're residential, don't you know? Anyway, that's how to do it, and it's a shame. But, yes, you're right. Take a situation like that and do like they do. Rub your chin and go, how can we use this situation to our advantage? And that's exactly what you do. Learn from your enemies. That's what they do, you know?
That's where you get started.
Yeah.
Right. I yield.
And you got all those younger people that have more energy than you do, and wind them up and set them off on a job, you know?
Okay,
anyway.
One last comment, and there's a very important lesson in it, okay? For a few years now, all on Facebook, there's the CEO of Starbucks believes in killing children, boycott Starbucks, and this and that. But last year when Walmart, they're making prisons out of them and all this and that. I got caught up in that mania where I would drive clear across town to go to a Kmart, and I wouldn't go to Walmart. But let me tell you what, I go into Walmart, those people walk up to you, can I help you? I'm looking for so-and-so. They literally grab you by the elbow and take you over to it, okay? They help you all they can. Now, it dawned on me one morning, these people are my neighbors. They are working for a living. They are trying to make a living. I might not agree with corporate, but I have got to support my neighbors. And when I'm the type, well, I talk to strangers, ask Lori or Terry. I walk up to anybody and just start talking. But I was talking to this gal in Walmart, and, you know, I like to tell people when I get good service, I will compliment them. I will, you know, let them know that I appreciate it. I was talking to this gal, and she is an older gal. She was 50, something like that, you know. But we got to talking, and I said, you know what? I said, for a year or two, I was boycotting Walmart. But let me tell you what. I get very good service in Walmart. You are my neighbor. And I come in here because I do get good service. And then she got a look in her face like, you know, I had a buddy for life. I had a buddy for life. I thought she was going to cry. But the lesson is this. You talk to people. And you let them know how much you appreciate them, their work and all this and that. And that is how you enlist people to your cause, okay? You identify with them. You open up to them. They will open up back to you. You present your weaknesses. They will do the same. You present love. They will give you love in return. You get out and you just talk to people, and then you start talking about problems. Well, how are we going to fix this and this and that? But that's the lesson. Get out and talk to people and just level with them. Like I say, everybody knows that this country is broke, and you got to start get out and talk to people and ask them what the solutions is, and you'll be surprised the ideas you get back. It's just like us getting on Skype and sit there yak yak yak. A lot of good ideas come out. Well, you can do it in public. I yield.
Thank you, Ollie. All right, anybody else have anything before we sign off here? It's like going for 10:40. I think we more than covered an hour anyway. And thank you everybody for participating. So I guess we'll close down now. Thanks for coming, and we'll see you next week, Thursday, same time. Let's call some people and get more people here, different people, different places. Okay, thanks guys.
Night, everybody.
Good night.